A week of bolt-on deals, wave crashes on obesity data, Sanofi partners with Terra startup, and more. The first quarter of 2026 closed with a flurry of small-scale biotech acquisitions, a pattern that suggests institutional capital is favoring de-risked, late-stage assets over moonshot platforms, and the deal structure matters as much as the headline valuations. When multiple bolt-on transactions cluster in a single week, it's not noise, it's evidence that serial acquirers are executing programmatic consolidation strategies while innovative startups navigate an FDA approval cycle that's simultaneously accelerating gene therapy approvals and tightening antitrust scrutiny on hospital systems. For private equity and strategic buyers, the message is clear: 2026 is the year to acquire proven clinical data, not to fund discovery stage risk. The wave of add-on deals tracked by Endpoints News comes as biotech companies secure late-stage clinical wins and regulatory milestones that make them digestible acquisition targets. The FDA approved Creslady, the first gene therapy for severe leukocyte adhesion deficiency type I, on March 26, 2026, a rare disease treatment that exemplifies the kind of differentiated, first-in-class asset that commands acquisition premiums. Meanwhile, Alumis raised over $345 million in a stock offering earlier this year following positive phase 3 results for its type 2 inhibitor, envudeucitinib, positioning the company as a precision immunology platform with blockbuster potential. These aren't speculative platforms, they're late-stage programs with FDA submission timelines and defined commercial paths. Vinay Prasad, Chief Medical and Scientific Officer at the FDA's Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research, noted the agency continues to exercise significant regulatory flexibilities for rare disease therapies with small patient populations, explicitly calling out the use of disease-specific biomarkers as evidence of effectiveness. That regulatory posture matters for acquirers. It de-risks clinical development timelines and reduces the capital burn required to reach approval. The Department of Justice, however, is simultaneously cracking down on anti-competitive contracting practices, filing an antitrust lawsuit against New York Presbyterian on March 27, 2026, alleging the hospital used all-or-nothing contracts to block lower-cost plans. The dual regulatory dynamic, FDA flexibility on approvals, DOJ aggression on consolidation, creates a narrow execution window for strategic buyers in healthcare services while opening room for biotech roll-ups. Follow the money. Acquirers are paying for clinical certainty. Bolt-on deals are structurally distinct from transformative mergers. They're designed to slot pre-commercial or recently approved assets into existing infrastructure, leveraging the acquirer's sales force, manufacturing capacity, and regulatory expertise. The economics favor serial acquirers with operational scale. Buying a Phase 3 program for $500 million to $1.5 billion is cheaper than funding five early-stage candidates through proof of concept, and the IRR profile is predictable. Alumis exemplifies the asset profile that drives these transactions. The company's genomic research informed the development of envudeucitinib, positioning it as a best-in-class oral type 2 inhibitor. CEO Martin Babler described the company as founded on the principle of precision immunology. How can we find the right drug for the right patient at the right time? That language signals a commercial strategy built around biomarker-driven patient segmentation, a model borrowed from oncology that's now migrating to autoimmunology. Bristol-Myers Squibb Sotyk 2, the first type 2 inhibitor, secured FDA approval in 2022, and Johnson & Johnson's Icotide, an oral peptide targeting the IL-23 receptor, received approval in March 2026, with J&J projecting peak revenue above $5 billion. Alumis is scheduled to present full Phase 3 data for envudeucitinib on March 29, 2026, during the American Academy of Dermatology annual meeting in Denver. If the data supports differentiation versus Sotyk 2 and Icotide, Alumis becomes an immediate acquisition candidate for any major pharma company seeking oral immunology assets. Gene therapy approvals are accelerating the acquisition pipeline. Creslady's approval on March 26, 2026, marks the first FDA-cleared gene therapy for severe LADI, a rare inherited immune deficiency caused by mutations in the ITGB2 gene. The therapy consists of the patient's own hematopoietic stem cells, genetically modified to restore CD18 and CD11A cell surface expression in white blood cells. The FDA granted accelerated approval based on disease-specific biomarker data from a single-arm, multicenter study, a regulatory pathway that reduces development timelines and capital requirements. For acquirers, gene therapies present both strategic value. First-in-class approvals in rare diseases command premium multiples, and operational risk, manufacturing complexity and CMC challenges. The companies that solve for scalable gene therapy manufacturing become acquisition targets or consolidators themselves. Oral drugs and precision immunology, The Psoriasis Playbook. The psoriasis market illustrates how precision medicine and patient preference drive mergers and acquisitions activity. Bristol-Myers Squibb Sotyk 2 created the oral Tyk2 inhibitor category in 2022, filling the gap between topical treatments and injectable biologics. Patients prefer oral formulations, and payers prefer lower-cost alternatives to high-priced biologics. That market structure creates space for multiple oral competitors, each differentiated by efficacy, safety, or biomarker-driven patient selection. Alumis's envudeucitinib targets the same Tyk2 pathway, but the company's genomic research suggests it can identify patient subpopulations most likely to respond. Martin Babler's framing, precise therapy, so that patients feel like, if I take this drug, I'm really going to benefit from it, positions Alumis as a precision immunology platform, not a single product company. That narrative matters for valuation. Platforms command higher multiples than standalone assets because they offer pipeline optionality. The $345 million financing earlier this year values Alumis as a company with multiple shots on goal, not just a psoriasis program. Johnson & Johnson's Icotide approval in March 2026, with peak revenue projections exceeding $5 billion, establishes the commercial ceiling for oral psoriasis therapies. If Alumis's Phase 3 data supports best-in-class positioning, the company's valuation could approach $3 billion to $5 billion in an acquisition scenario, assuming a 1x to 1.5x multiple on peak revenue estimates. That's consistent with recent immunology deals. Novartis announced plans to spend up to $2 billion on Excelergy and its next-generation Xolair candidate, according to Endpoint's News Trending Stories. Sanofi backed a California startup with $180 million to rebuild its presence in T-cell engagers. These transactions signal that major pharma is willing to pay for differentiated mechanisms in crowded therapeutic areas, provided the clinical data supports best-in-class claims. Antitrust risk and hospital system consolidation, the other side of healthcare mergers and acquisitions. While biotech deals cluster around clinical milestones, hospital system mergers and acquisitions faces intensifying antitrust scrutiny. The Department of Justice filed a lawsuit against New York Presbyterian on March 27, 2026, alleging the hospital used restrictive payer contracts to block lower-cost health plans. The DOJ claims New York Presbyterian required insurers to include all of its hospitals in their networks if they wanted access to any facility, a practice the agency argues violates the Sherman Act by suppressing competition. New York Presbyterian operates 8 hospitals and holds more than 25% of general acute care discharges across Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx as of 2024. The lawsuit follows a similar DOJ action against Ohio Health filed 5 weeks earlier, suggesting coordinated enforcement against all-or-nothing contracting practices. For private equity firms and strategic buyers active in provider-side consolidation, this marks a shift in regulatory posture. The DOJ is explicitly targeting contract provisions that limit insurers' ability to design tiered or narrow networks, provisions that have historically protected hospital margins in competitive markets. New York Presbyterian denied the allegations, stating it does not seek to exclude any other hospital from any insurer's network and arguing that insurance companies hold the market power and use it to restrict patient choice. That framing, insurers as gatekeepers, hospitals as patient advocates, will define the litigation narrative. But the DOJ's complaint argues that without the allegedly unlawful contracts, New York Presbyterian would face greater price competition, driving lower costs and higher quality across New York City's healthcare market. The case could establish precedent for contract structure in hospital payer negotiations, with direct implications for private equity-backed hospital roll-ups and health system mergers and acquisitions valuations. The Plaquemines view the clustering of bolt-on biotech deals in late March 2026 is not coincidental. It reflects a fundamental shift in institutional capital allocation toward proven clinical assets and away from platform risk. The acquirers executing these transactions are building programmatic deal pipelines, not opportunistic one-offs. They're targeting late-stage programs with FDA submission timelines, established regulatory pathways, and quantifiable commercial potential. The FDA's willingness to grant accelerated approvals based on biomarker data, as with Creslady, reduces time to market and capital intensity, making these assets more attractive to strategic buyers and financial sponsors alike. What the market underappreciates is the operational playbook driving these deals. Serial acquirers are leveraging shared infrastructure, sales force, manufacturing, regulatory affairs, to drive margin expansion post-close. That's why bolt-on deals often trade at lower multiples than standalone initial public offerings. The value creation happens in the integration, not the headline price. For GPs managing healthcare-focused funds, this creates opportunity. Backing management teams with proven commercial expertise and a track record of product launches generates better returns than betting on early-stage science. The antitrust crackdown on hospital systems introduces asymmetric risk into provider-side mergers and acquisitions. The DOJ's aggressive stance on contract structure, targeting all-or-nothing provisions that historically protected hospital economics, signals that future transactions will face heightened scrutiny. That's bullish for outpatient care roll-ups, ambulatory surgery centers, specialty clinics, diagnostic labs, where consolidation is fragmented and competitive dynamics differ from inpatient acute care. It's bearish for megamergers among dominant hospital systems in concentrated markets. The precision immunology thesis deserves attention. Alumis's genomic approach to patient selection mirrors oncology's evolution toward biomarker-driven therapies. If in view ducitinib's phase 3 data supports best-in-class efficacy in biomarker-defined subpopulations, the asset becomes strategic for any acquirer seeking a precision immunology platform. The $345 million raise earlier this year was insufficient to fund full commercialization. Alumis is either positioning for partnership or sale. Our view: the company announces a strategic transaction within 12 months of the March 29, 2026, data readout, likely in the $3 billion to $4 billion range if the data delivers. The bottom line: bolt-on biotech deals in Q1 2026 signal a market favoring clinical certainty over platform speculation. Strategic buyers are paying for late-stage assets with clear regulatory paths, leveraging FDA flexibility on rare disease approvals and biomarker-driven endpoints. The antitrust crackdown on hospital contracting introduces new risk into provider mergers and acquisitions, but outpatient care roll-ups remain insulated. For institutional capital, the playbook is clear: back serial acquirers with operational expertise, target precision medicine platforms with differentiated biomarker strategies, and avoid hospital systems in concentrated markets where DOJ enforcement is escalating. The companies that secure best-in-class clinical data in the next 6 months will drive H2 2026 mergers and acquisitions volume, and those transactions will trade at premium multiples to early-stage platforms still burning cash in phase one.